This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, turning a corner a bit in terms of things we've been talking about lately and probably will be again in the future. A whole different subject. Talk about getting ready for fire season. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, his first radio appearance of 2020. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
It's a little busy around here, as you may have noticed today. But let's talk about a topic, and in some ways this actually works out even better with a number of folks finding themselves with an extended period of time off, including some of the educational staff and people like that, or people with kids at home that are maybe staying home, working from home because they are. You look around your home, you look around your property, and you wonder what you should be doing to get ready for just spring in general, but to your purposes, to be more of a barrier between fire and someone's property. And DFBA, of course, has been involved in this for a long time. Give people, if they're new, kind of an overview of when DFBA got started, what it is.
Yeah, so DFBA is a private nonprofit association that was formed in 1912. And our sole purpose is wildfire prevention, mitigation, and education. So we do the fire suppression, we do the detection here throughout the Douglas District.
And how many employees do you have?
Yeah, so we have about 17 full-time employees, and then once we get closer to fire season, we ramp up with a lot of seasonals, and we bring on anywhere from 100 to 110 seasonals in the summertime. A handful of those we do keep on in the wintertime on several outside service projects doing fuels reduction work and other things, and that's very important to have those people around when we have those fires on the shoulder season outside of the traditional fire season.
So how does all of this get funded?
So the day-to-day operations at DFPA is funded through an assessment that most people pay through their property taxes. It's based on a per acre rate, and then the fuels reduction grants and stuff like that is different grants that we use to help homeowners clean up around their property. And those grants are used this time of year in the winter months to do those projects.
Now, how long have you been at DFPA?
Oh, I started back when we had the youth crews. I started in our Canyonville office in 2003, so I'm going on about my 18th fire season or so.
Now, was that kind of your plan where you knew you wanted to go, or did you figure it out after you got there?
Really no plan on making a career out of this in the long term. I initially had some other goals and didn't work out, luckily, I guess, looking back on it now. And I've had a great time here at DFPA at a number of different positions.
So what do you do right now? What is your position?
So right now I'm the fire prevention specialist. I've been up here out of our Roseburg office since 2011. And really my job focuses a lot on trying to prevent fires. So I work with the public, work a lot with the media, you know, everything from education to information and updating the Facebook page and the website and kind of everything else in between there.
And obviously when these fires happen, when we get into fire season, you and I are kind of on speed dial, speed texting at points there, because these fires don't always happen during normal weekday business hours.
Yeah, that's right. You know, my schedule gets pretty crazy in the summertime. My Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 gig kind of goes out the window once we get into the heart of fire season, and we're getting calls and texts day and night for new starts and updates and everything else.
And so let's talk about defensible space. Now, first of all, as it applies to people maybe have a number of acres of property, especially in rural areas.
Yes and no. So really where we live here in Douglas County, fires can happen and will happen throughout the summertime. And living in town or outside of town, or regardless of the amount of land you have, we live in an area where fire is going to happen. So it's important that everybody take some steps ahead of time, again, whether you live inside of town or out, to mitigate some of those risks and do some things to help your home survive in the event of a wildfire.
We have seen over the years, both locally and elsewhere in Oregon and certainly in other states as well, these fires that, you know, they seem like they're a long way off, and yeah, they're doing a lot of damage and taking out trees and all of that, But suddenly, you know, wind comes and they get swept forward very quickly, or the direction changes. And suddenly, you know, we've heard about all the home fires and things like that. Some of those, you know, some of those situations are really beyond anybody's control. But a lot of times it seems like you look at the pictures, if you're able to see a picture of an area before the fire, and it's just very dense with trees right up against homes. People kind of sometimes like that look of things, but there's some danger there.
Yeah, there definitely is. And there's a lot of things that we can do as homeowners and groups and to mitigate some of those risks, where we don't have to take everything out. We can leave some vegetation, but we do want to kind of do it strategically, not have stuff right up against the house, you know, space stuff out, limb stuff up, and really give us a fighting chance to protect those homes during a fire.
And even for people in town, that applies too.
Exactly. Like you mentioned, you know, when a fire starts, it may seem like it's a long way away, but it's not uncommon, especially on those really hot, really dry, windy days, for that fire to move, you know, a mile or 2 miles is not uncommon. And we've seen fires move, you know, 5 or more miles in a day. So even if it does look like it's a long way away, it may not stay a long way away.
And I remember, I think it was one of the fires in California. It wasn't Paradise, but it was one last year further to the south, where someone had, you know, been there for a number of years, had a real high-end home, but it was a long way away. It was blowing that way, and they went to bed, and everything seemed okay. And they got up in the morning and decided to look out, and it was bearing down on them. And it was like, run to the car and get your rear out of there, because, you know, their house was on fire in less than a couple minutes from the time they woke up. So it's, you know, when you live in those areas, there's some unpredictability.
Yeah, there is. You know, the big things that are going to drive the fire, obviously, is the amount of fuel around it. But the other two big factors is the weather.
The weather?
Yeah, the weather is going to have a big impact on it, you know, with the temperature, the humidity, and things like that. The other thing is going to be the topography and where your home is located at on the hillside, you know, whether it's at the top of the hill or the bottom of the hill, kind of mid-slope there. So those are the other two things that we don't have a lot of control over. So it's really important to really focus on those fuels to give yourself a chance.
So you have this program called FireWise. What is that?
So FireWise is a national program that was started by the National Fire Protection Association initially back in the late 80s. And initially it was more focused on just, you know, what homeowners could do kind of individually around their homes. And the reason this was started was, you know, everything we've talked about. We've seen a big increase in the homes being threatened by fire, or fires happening in the WUI area, the wildland urban interface areas. And there was a call to action to try and do some things. And it was, you know, somewhat successful, other than, you know, we do what, or one homeowner would do a project here and the neighbors wouldn't, and vice versa. Kind of the early 2000s, the focus shifted a little bit. All those practices stayed the same on defensible space and what to do, but they really focused then on the community neighborhood aspect of it, and trying to encourage neighborhoods to do more together to increase the chances that communities will survive.
Yeah, because then if you've got all of that pulled back, you don't have it. I mean, you can even, obviously, if people have seen, you know, you may skirt past a house that doesn't have very dense foliage and things like that out there, but it may get past next to one that does, and then it may turn around and go back. Just so, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to have a lot of people on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the nice thing about that, again, is we're not kind of hopscotching from one place that's been treated to another. We have that consistency as we're moving through a neighborhood, kind of protecting that area, that fuels work has been treated kind of throughout the area rather than a hit or miss here and there.
So in Douglas County, how does FireWise work? What does DFP do in that regard?
So here for a number of years now, we've had a pretty active FireWise program. You know, we started with a couple test programs about 2011, 2012, and it really took off, and it's been a very successful program. We've seen growth every year since then, and we're up to about 26 FireWise communities throughout the district that have gone through the program. They're recognized. They continue to renew every year. And I believe there's one or two in the Coos District within Douglas County over out of the Reedsport area as well. So it's been a very successful program. There's still a lot of work left to do, though.
In a lot of these rural areas in particular, a lot of folks, they like their space, but they tend to oftentimes know people around them. If somebody is in an area that hasn't done this yet and would like to kind of get things going, what's the process?
Yeah, so kind of the big thing is to talk to a couple neighbors. Part of this is we've got to have a local buy-in, kind of a border committee to keep that program going in the right direction. Once you have that, get a hold of DFPA. I'm actually the FireWise coordinator for DFPA, so we can, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page, they understand what we need to do. Part of that's a wildfire risk assessment for the community. But, you know, we go through and we look at the community and things we can do to increase their odds of survival. And then we kind of get a plan together community-wide that different things that we could do to help them, but also things that homeowners can do as well.
So does that involve like a series of meetings, or do you send them, written material? What do you do?
So every community is going to be different. We've got some communities that are really, geared towards, they meet monthly. And a lot of those have already had that set up, so they're incorporating that into their kind of their normal routine. Other communities, you know, they get together once a year to renew, make sure everything's on track, and go that route. So it's really customizable to, each community.
All right, more from Kyle Reed in a moment when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Still putting together tomorrow's program, but it looks like it's going to be related to Douglas County's response to the COVID-19 situation, and we'll tell you more about it as we get closer. But, of course, always listen to Inside Douglas County and check out the podcast at 541radio.com. During these uncertain times, we've got a lot of information up there, and we're keeping it updated and some stories you won't always hear on the air during a particular newscast, but make sure and check out the information at 541radio.com, accessible from the 541 Radio app and on the KQEN Facebook page as well. Kyle Reed here from the Douglas Forest Protective Association, fire prevention officer, and a whole lot more, looking ahead to spring, which is really close, and summer, which is not that far away. You sent over some data, and I didn't get a chance to look at it too thoroughly, but the word drought monitor, two words, got my attention there. Of course, that's an organization that follows things like this, a bit of a somber task. What's the U.S. drought monitor saying about what the rest of the year could be for our region?
Yeah, it's really not much of a surprise when you look back at the amazing warm and dry winter we had, I guess you could say that. We're seeing conditions already in the moderate drought category for almost all of Douglas County, excluding the very coastal tip of Douglas County, which is classified as abnormally dry. That's quite a change from what we saw last year, going into, after the February snowstorm and kind of that wet period. It really wiped out some of those drought concerns that we saw here. But again, this is a new year and a different situation, and things are pretty dry out there.
So for Oregon as a whole, are we one of the areas that's more likely to be impacted, or is it further south, or where?
So, yeah, when you look at Oregon, one of the things that they're looking at, is the snowpack totals. And Northeast Oregon is still sitting pretty good with their snowpack totals, hovering right around that, 100%, 90% of normal range. But when you get kind of outside of there, the farther south and west you go, you kind of start seeing the lower snowpacks and lower rainfall totals that cause these drought situations.
So you mentioned the rain. Talk about that more specifically in terms of where we are versus the norm.
Yeah, so, looking at rainfall charts, again, most of Western Oregon is well behind normal rainfall. Here specifically for Roseburg, the readings at the Roseburg Airport are showing that we're, about a little over 10 inches behind normal rainfall since the rain year started on October 1st. Pretty much every month other than January have had a deficit in terms of rainfall totals. So that's really a big concern as we kind of get out of our typical wet season in the winter. The spring's still fairly wet around here, but typically a normal spring, we won't see enough rainfall to really make up the difference.
In November, I recall, felt more like September there for quite a while.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird fall for us. We got a lot of rain, you know, in September, allowed us to go out of fire season earlier than normal. But then kind of October, November, things kind of dried up. And, you know, we chased a couple small fires and stuff like that. Not enough to cause too much of a concern. But, you know, definitely the lack of rainfall over time does add up. And it is concerning going forward.
And looking ahead, what's the National Weather Service looking at for the rest of this month and then the rest of spring?
Yeah, so looking ahead, basically the rest of this month, the latest kind of two-week forecast they've put out is calling for, you know, below normal temperatures and above normal precipitation, which is promising. But when you get out and you look at the kind of the three-month outlook that they put out, which includes March, April, and May, you know, the outlook there is still calling for above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation overall. And, you know, it is hard to get an accurate, you know, what's going to happen forecast, you know, just a week's ahead of time, let alone a three-month outlook. So, you know, some of it's taken for a grain of salt, but that's kind of where the models are pointing to at this point.
So as we look back at the fires, I guess from these are from all last year, right?
Correct.
Kind of run us through a little bit about those.
Yeah, so we saw a couple fires early there in May, which when we start seeing those May fires, it is concerning because things are drier than they should be for that time of year. We had four fires, though, that early May timeframe, kind of that dry, warm spell we got that were over 10 acres in size. All those were related to slash burns at escape containment, the largest of which was about 43 acres up in the Drew country outside of Tiller. And we had, you know, we had crews on that for several days getting that contained and mopped up because part of the problem with those early fires is once you have them, you've got to make sure they don't pop up later in the summer. So we've got to make sure they're completely taken care of. So that's always a little bit of a burden there as well.
Now, we had the biggie of the summer, without which it would have been a really quiet season for you guys, was the Milepost 97 fire.
Yeah, exactly. You know, unfortunately, when we have these large fire events, you kind of look back, if you take one fire out of play, it's a completely different game, and that's exactly what this was as well. As you know, most of our acres came from one fire, which was Milepost 97. You know, that fire started on the side of the freeway just outside of Canyonville near Milepost 97, about 10 o'clock at night, and it burned into an old fire scar that burnt in the late 80s. Part of the area was, you know, treated and part of it wasn't post-fire, so we had a lot of standing dead trees that we were dealing with, and those started coming down very quickly, which hampered the firefighting efforts from the get-go.
Plus, you were dealing with the fact that part of this was literally next to the freeway.
Exactly. And freeway fires pose a whole different situational awareness just due to the nature of people watching the smoke and the flames and rather than concentrating on driving.
Yeah, so you don't want people slowing down to look at the fire as they go by and running into each other or the, you know, something in the road or running off the road or whatever. And there were points there during a lot of that where I think it was southbound. It was down to one lane for a while.
Yeah, we worked very closely with ODOT. They were great to work with through that whole incident. You know, we didn't want to have traffic stopped. They didn't want to have traffic stopped. We worked together and came up with a plan to mitigate those hazards. It was down to one lane for quite a while, but we were able to keep traffic flowing for the most part the entire time.
And the other thing, when that started, just being a couple miles south of Canyonville, this is where the wind direction, you know, this would have been a whole different fire. And I know folks in Canyonville were particularly concerned when it began because it wasn't that far away.
Yeah. When you were sitting in Canyonville, especially at night, the glow seemed like it was right there behind town. You know, luckily, we were able to cut off that northern section of the fire fairly quickly and get that secured. But those predominant winds in the summertime push the majority of our fires to the south. So the big threat turned into, you know, more of those homes there off of Canyon Creek and Azalea Glen and kind of the upper Cow Creek area.
And that one was with you for almost a month.
It was. Yeah. You know, looking back now, it's kind of a blur still. But, yeah, we had quite a lot of effort that went into that. And, you know, one of the big things we had going for us was there wasn't a lot of other fires either across the state or across the West. So we were able to get a lot of the resources that we needed in a timely fashion to keep that fire from continuing to burn.
So just about out of time, but if people want to find out more about the FireWise program or just maybe other aspects of DFPA or what they should be doing, especially here as people are starting to look at their yards and looking ahead to contemplate getting out there and doing some work now as the weather's starting to get a little milder, how do they contact you? Where are the resources?
Yeah, again, you know, now is the perfect time to do that. If they have questions or you know, want to talk about FireWise, our website's www.dfpa.net. We're also on Facebook, or you can give our office a call at 672-6507, and I'd be glad to talk to you.
Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.